And hope it didn't, not only did you enjoy it, but it made you think a little bit. Because there's ever an age and time in which we live where we need to be more like Jesus. It's now. You know, it seems like we've tried to take on the reflection of everything but Him at times. And it can create quite the struggle. And sometimes we get intimidated by circumstances and situations, and we think, man, where is God? Where is the Father? Anybody ever felt that way sometimes in the midst of struggle and tribulation, trials? Not knowing, you know, how are you going to make it? Not knowing what you're going to accomplish or how you're going to be able to accomplish the things that you feel within your hearts to do. And this morning I want to share a story about men of the Bible, strong men of the Bible, men of valor, they're talked about in the scripture. But there were three boys in a schoolyard one day bragging about who had the better father. They all were talking about their dads, talking about how strong they were, how important the men they were. And of course, every kid, like you know, on the school playground, every kid tries to outdo the other kid. And so finally one of them spoke up and said, well, I got one for you guys. He says, you know, my dad, he scribbles a few words on a piece of paper and he calls it a poem, and they give him $100 for that poem. I bet your dad can't beat that. Well, one young kid spoke up. He said, yeah, that ain't nothing. My dad scribbles a few words on a piece of paper. He calls it a song, and they give him thousands of dollars for that. I bet you can't beat that. Then one young man whose father was a preacher says, well, I got news for you, guy. My dad stands up and he speaks, and when he gets done, it takes 6 to 8 men to collect the amount of money that he takes in when he talks. So each one of them were trying to state what they felt was the most important factor, or they felt was the importance of their fathers. If there's been one thing that I believe, if you could point to one thing in our society that I believe has been a direct correlation between where some things have gone in our society, it is the fact that this generation that we presently see growing up is known as a fatherless generation. It is known as a group of young men and young boys that are drifting through space and time and going through life and not really having that positive male role model in their life. In fact, the Bible, the scripture talks about in the Old Testament how important it is for a child to have his or her father's blessing upon them. In fact, in this very city that this church sits in, it has been said that somewhere between 60 to 75% of the kids that are growing up in this very city are growing up in one-parent homes, and in most occasions, probably 90% of the time, it is not a father in the household. And that is a struggle that we must face as a church. In fact, it's something that the scripture holds us accountable to. It says, pure and undefiled religion is what? Is one keeping themselves spotless before the world and taking care of widows and orphans. Can I tell you, we have a generation of young people that are being orphaned by society, and instead of pointing fingers and accusing our society of turning away from God, it's time the church hits its knees and pray, God, help us to be fathers to the fatherless. Help us to be men of valor in these times. In the scripture, it talks about men that rose to the occasions in certain times and in seasons. In 1 Chronicles chapter 7, we see that there is a listing of men that have been prepared for battle, men that have been designated to go to war for the nation of Israel. And it makes reference to a certain group of men, men that were great men of valor, men that were trained in the art of warfare, men that knew how to do battle on the battlefield. And it talks about him in 1 Chronicles chapter 7 verses 5 and chapter 12 verse 32. It says, now their brethren among the families of Issachar were mighty men of valor. Of the sons of Issachar who had understandings of the times to know what Israel ought to do. Can I tell you, God's not caught off guard this morning about what's going on in our lives. God is not caught off guard about the problems and ills of our society. He doesn't need us to tell Him what our problems are. He doesn't need us to identify what is going on. What God is looking for today is men of valor that understand the times and the seasons of which we live. I've had the privilege of being in ministry for over 20 years now. And I've had the honor of being able to help some young men and young women who face challenging times in their life. And I'm not here to tell you, God's not looking for perfect men or women for that matter. I know it's Father's Day, and I want to challenge men, all men in this place. But I want to challenge all of us to stand up and know the times and seasons of which we live in. And to be people of valor. What does valor mean? Valor means courage. In the face of the enemy. Valor means courage in the face of fear. You know, we think of courage sometimes as someone that just is defiant of fear. Someone that looks in the face of fear and laughs. That is not what courage is. Courage is action in the very presence of fear. Fear in your own heart and fear in your own mind. But one of the things we've got to understand is if we're going to be people of valor and if we're going to understand the times and seasons of which we live, there's certain characteristics that need to be present in us in order for God to use us. And one of the first things that God requires of you today is for you to get real. Get real about who you are and get real about what you are and begin to understand that until you are honest before God in your struggles, in the things that you're facing in your life, in the issues of your life, you can never truly understand what it takes to be the man or the woman that God's called you to be. They understood the seasons and the times, but they had to understand themselves in order to be effective in the times and seasons. What does that mean, get real? It means make an assessment of your life. There's one thing I want you to do, and I've been really taking a hard look at my own life as of late. And I know there's still some areas that God's got to do some work in me. There's still some areas that God's got to begin to chip away at me and begin to conform me to His purposes and His plan. But I've got to be willing to conform. How many know that when we begin to assess ourselves, sometimes we don't like to look at the things that are really there. We like to highlight what we're good at, but we like to ignore what we're bad at. What are your failures today? And I don't sit here and tell me, Pastor, I really don't have no failures. Well, you just identified your first failure. It's your dishonesty. We all got things that we fail at. We all have things that we could do better at. We all have things that we need God to do work in us still. And so when you're assessing your life, don't go assessing someone else. We're good at assessing everybody else, aren't we? We're good at looking at Fran and say, oh, Fran, if you want to know what's going with your life, you just ask me and I'll tell you because I've been looking real hard at you. But I'm telling you right now, when you look right in the mirror, it's not so easy to see. Not so easy to sort of think about, but I'm telling you, look at your failures. Look at those areas where you're presently not meeting what you believe to be God's expectations. Now, I'm not talking about your expectations either. I'm talking about God's expectations, because God, news for you, God has a standard. Somehow, somewhere in the society that we live in, I guarantee you the men of Issachar didn't drop the standard. They said, no, I've got to rise to the standard of the Father in heaven in order to be effective for the Father in heaven. That leads me to my second assessment. How's your faith? It seems to me the church in the day and age in which we live has lost faith. The scripture talks about when Jesus returns, will He find faith in the earth? And so we as a church, we don't need to look at the world and say, well, they just don't believe in Jesus. My question is, do you believe in Jesus? If you believe in Jesus, then you need to walk in the authority of His name. If you believe in Jesus, you need to let Him be the joy that gives you strength. If you believe in Jesus, you need to let Him be the healer of all of your diseases. If He is Jesus to you, you need to let Him be the strength of your life. See, identify your faith and assess your faith and your failures and look at your family. The Bible says if one wants to be a leader in the church, they must be willing and able to take care of their own family. It would be a terrible thing for me to come here and take care of you guys and not to have taken care of my family. What's the state of your marital life? Come on, guys. When's the last time you told your wife you loved her? When's the last time you sat down and talked to your kids and encouraged them, only not to find fault in them? The Bible says to look at your child and to stir them to greater works, not to discourage them. Now, this is a lifelong thing, by the way. This isn't something when they get 18, you say, ha-ha, I'm done, you're out of here. No, you have to continue to be mom and continue to be dad. And you got to be grandmom and granddad. There's still a part for you to play. There's still something for you to do. If you're going to do something in the time and season of which we live, you better take care of your family, because there's a devil in hell and he wants to snatch away your seed, and he wants to snatch away the promises of God in your life and destroy your family. You better be a man or a woman of Issachar. I stand forth right now and I refuse to be intimidated by the enemy. Getting real. And your future. Assess your future. Are the steps you're taking right now leading you anywhere good? Or are you just like the children of Israel? You're just circling the mountain. You're just walking around the mountain. You think you might be walking to the promised land, but you're just walking in a circle, doing the same old stuff, being the same old discouragement, the same old fears, the same old worry, walking around the mountain just wondering, oh God, when am I going to get to the promised land? And God saying, when are you going to start walking toward the promised land? When are you going to start making progress toward the place I want you to go? Assess yourself. These men, they had to look at what they had in the camp. What instruments for battle, how they were physically doing, how their mental state was. You've got to do the same thing if you're going to be a person who understands the times and seasons. Scripture says it very clearly in 2 Corinthians 13 and 5. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. And so this morning, if you come out of this self-examination and you give yourself an A, go back and retake the test. There's nobody in our society is making an A right now, as far as I can see. And I'm going to tell you, nobody in this church is making an A. And I'm including myself in the process. We got work to do, people. If we're going to understand the times and seasons and we're going to be people of valor, there is work to do. Judgment begins at the house of the Lord. But once you get real, then you got to get smart. Man, we don't work too smart, do we? We see what's the problem, and then we just keep on going back to the same old stuff we've always done. Keep on doing the same old stuff. Keep on letting the same old devil mess with us. I identified something in the Wednesday night Bible study. It was good. It's good. Somebody asked me, says, can the devil tempt you to sin? He ain't got to tempt you to sin. You already got that in you. Scripture says that God does not tempt man, that it is the man, that the thing that is within him, says man, is given to temptation because of his sinful nature. All the devil needs to do is just sit and watch you. He don't need to tempt you. You'll just get in the mess yourself. And so he'll look at you and you're not, you know, we're just sort of, we walk right back into the same old watering hole. We walk back into the same old mess. You got to get smart. What does getting smart look like? First of all, know what's valuable in your life. You know what the devil's done in America? He's made us focus on the unimportant of life. The material possessions. Things that we have. You know, getting that nicer place, getting that nicer car, getting a nicer vacation, getting this nicer stuff, and you're expending all of your energy, working hours and hours upon end so you can accumulate more and more and more. Like the person that Jesus identified in the scripture, he said, I'm going to build me bigger barns so that I can accumulate more so that when I get older, I can just sit down and get fat and get happy. And then Jesus looked at this man and said, you fool, today your life is required of you. Make an investment today that is eternal. Make an investment today that just doesn't benefit you, but benefits the kingdom. And I can promise you, you're laying up treasures in heaven that no moth and no rust will ever destroy. Truly, power, the valuable. And don't fight battles you will never win. Stop trying to win people that ain't interested in talking about Jesus. We fight the wrong devils. We fight the wrong enemies. We get in church and we fight and battle one another. devil's sitting back going, we're sitting around trying to argue faith. Don't argue your faith. Live out your faith. Let faith be alive in you so that when they see your good works, they can't do anything but shake their heads and say, oh, there's something real about it. I don't like it. I don't care about it, but I can't deny the fact that they are blessed and highly favored. Can I tell you, when you begin to fight the right battles, you're going to begin to win the battles, and God is going to empower you and equip you to do great and mighty things, but get smart about it. Ask for help. Man, the enemy just isolates you. We talked about this in the Bible study, how the enemy will try to isolate you and put you off, make you feel like nobody cares about you, make you feel like that you're the only one, and that you might as well give up because the battle is lost, and we just sink into our isolation, and then worry and feel and torment and depression and all just settle in upon us. And all you got to do is ask the Father for help, and He's already heard your prayer before you utter the words, and the Holy Spirit comes crashing into your life, and then the Holy Spirit will begin to put people in your path to be of help and of service to you. Get smart. The battle is not yours. It is the Lord, says the Lord. And build a foundation that will stand the storm. We're in a storm right now, folks. We're walking around in denial. We're facing a storm, a torrent that we've never seen before in this country. And it's time believers join together hand in hand in faith, because where two or three are gathered in His name, He is there in the midst of them. That's why it's important to be involved in a community of faith. That's why it's important to read your Bible. That's why it's important to pray and seek the Father. These are foundational principles that will keep your faith secure, and you will stand the test of the storm that comes your way. Get smart. Scripture says to us in Proverbs 19 and 20, get all the advice and instruction you can so you will be wise the rest of your life. I need instruction. I'm calling, you know, every time I face a battle or a struggle, I got certain people I'm calling up. I'm calling Pastor Wooden. Pastor Wooden, what do you think? Or I'm calling one of my peers, one of my guys that are on the my little team that I meet with once a month. We get together and we pray, and they lift me up and I lift them up. Can I tell you, a three chord strand is not easily broken, and we all need partners in the faith. Get smart. Don't go it alone. Let God help you. Remember, it said the men of Issachar, not the man of Issachar, but the men of Issachar. We need to be together, get smart, and then we need to get busy. Now I'm talking about busy, good busy, not bad busy, because a lot of us get bad busy. We get busy doing a lot of things that don't amount to anything. But we need to get busy doing the smart things. You know, I put them in order, take an assessment, get real. Get smart, and once you've gotten real and you've gotten smart, then you get busy. You don't get busy before you get real or get smart. You get busy. Get busy doing what? What are you talking about, Pastor? You got to be diligent every day. How many know that you can't take a day off? Can't take a spiritual day off, because the enemy, he's just watching. He's just trying to figure out. And sometimes, I'm going to be honest with you, you know, one of the most difficult times in my life when I'm fighting the battle of faith is when I've won a victory. When I have been victorious and I'm feeling like I'm on the mountain, the Bible makes it very clear. Don't be too prideful. Don't be proud. Hey, I've arrived. He said, then you shall surely fall. So every day demands diligence. If you're going through a bad day, seek Him. If you're having a great day, seek Him. When things are all perfect, seek Him. When things aren't happening the way you planned, seek Him. Every day is what David said. Daily, 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 I will seek the Lord. And we need to seek Him daily. Getting busy, trusting in Him, allowing Him. Don't be spiritually lazy. And I'm guilty of this. Oh, Pastor, you're spiritually lazy? You better believe I am. Don't look at me that way. So are you. We get spiritually lazy. We read the Word and we do it because it's what we're supposed to do. But do you look at the Word and say, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy words have I hidden in my heart, O Lord, that I might not sin against you. When you're reading that word, do you look at the word and say, Jesus, speak to me? You're just saying, I'm going to do this because pastor tells me I got to do devotion. So I'm going to do devotion so I ain't got to lie to the pastor. And I can say, I did my devotions. And I'm going to pray, but I'm just going to pray just a short time so I can look at the pastor and say, Pastor, I prayed just like you've been telling me. And then all of a sudden, about a month or two later, Pastor, I've been reading the word and I've been praying and ain't been doing no good. And I'm going to ask you, because I got to ask myself, have you been reading to hear God speak to you? Have you been praying and all you've been doing is complaining? Have you been asking the Lord, Lord, reveal unto me? Have we been like David where he says, Oh Lord, search me and know my heart. Lord, reveal the wickedness within my own desires. And Lord, lead me in the way of everlasting life. Being spiritually alert, being spiritually disciplined and saying, God, you pour into me so that I might be a vessel to you. That's being busy for the kingdom. And I can promise you, when you pour out for Jesus, he's always going to pour more than you poured out. He's going to keep on pouring. But when you get lazy and you just sit back and go through the routine and just make it a something that you're supposed to do, can I tell you, it needs to be something we love to do, that we sincerely seek him. He says, seek me with all your heart and you will find me, says the Lord. Investing in the important. Not only knowing the valuable, but investing in the important. Those children, those grandchildren, those nieces and nephews, they are the most precious things that we have on this earth. I told the story one time where a father had a brand new Corvette. He had saved up enough money to buy a brand new Corvette. He had that Corvette sitting in his garage. He kept that thing spit shine. It looked beautiful. And every Saturday he'd pull it out and wash it and just look at it and just stare and smile. One day there was a 16-year-old boy just got his license. He said, Sir, that's a mighty pretty car. You mind if I take it for a spin? He said, Boy, you better get out of my yard. You know how much this vehicle cost. It's a very important and very valuable to me. I've spent a lot of money on. If you ever ask me that again, I'm going to tell you one thing. You better be away from me. Later on that evening, a young boy knocks on his door. Says, I'm here to pick up your daughter. Come on in. Hope you young folks have a good time. And sends her out the door. What are you investing in today? Is a car or a house or stuff more valuable to you than the people of your life? Because I got news for you. They're going to all pass away. But they are going to last throughout all eternity. That's been one of the things that really kept me, I'll be honest with you, have kept me from making a lot of mistakes. Whenever I've been tempted to do something or say something, I've thought about, how's this going to impact my kids down the road? How's this going to impact my wife? How about that man that's been flirting at work and he starts looking at a pretty girl and she's giving him the affection that he's been longing for? Things with his wife is a little bit stressed and he's you know, just looking, and all of a sudden she bats those little eyes and she's the pretty blue eyes. If he just thought about, how's this going to impact my daughter? How about the man who's looking at pornographic images on the screen of his computer and he's allowing the lust of his flesh to overtake him? How would he feel if that was his daughter that someone was looking at? Can I tell you, you're looking at somebody else's child. God forgive us for stirring up emotions and affections that were never meant to be stirred up. For a moment of pleasure, we sacrifice our future. Invest in the important. Trust in the Lord. Give him the room in your life to work. Work with a purpose. Work with the end in mind. Booker T. Washington says, nothing ever comes to one that is worth having except as a result of hard work. Now, I'm not saying hard work separated from faith, but I'm saying full of faith and giving your best effort to the Lord, I'll promise you will end in a positive result. Proverbs 14:23 says, in all labor there is profit, but idle chatter leads only to poverty. Do a work for the Lord and let him work in your life. Finally, not only do we need to get real, get smart, get busy, But we got to get going. That's, we got to quit sitting around. All this that God's given us, we're going to be held responsible for. The scripture says, the much is given, much is required. And the nation of America is the most wealthy nation on the planet. I'm going to let you know something here. If you have a home, you own a home today. If you have a car, if you have money in your bank account, any one of these three, you are part of the top 25% of the wealthiest people in the world. Now, I know some of us, maybe we wish we had more. I would love to, and there's not a person here that would say, I'm set for life. I'm okay. I don't worry about anything. I'm not saying that. I'm saying strive. But put it all in perspective and get busy using what you have. Well, if it's a little, use it for the glory of God. If it's a lot, use it for the glory of God. Remember the challenge that Jesus gave them. The man that had five talents. The man that had two talents. The man that had one talent. They were all given something. Some were giving more than others. And all they were held accountable for was what they were given. The man that had five made it ten, and the Lord blessed him. The man that had, I think it was two, made it better for four, and he was blessed. The man that had one hit it because he didn't want this unjust judge to come and find him without anything. He was scared to risk it all. And because he wouldn't risk anything, everything was taken from him. And the Lord is looking at you and I and says, I've given you these men of Issachar. How much would we have read about them if they'd have stayed in the camp and just kept training? Not going to battle. They may have looked the part. They had all the muscles. They had all the moves. They could cut them to pieces. They could do all these things. But they never went to battle. They would not have been known as men of valor. We've got to go to battle. We got to fight. I'm not talking about fighting in the physical. I'm talking about fighting in the spiritual. We got to fight for our own salvation. We've got to fight for our family. We've got to fight for our community. We've got to fight for our nation. And the number one way we fight is first seeking the Lord with all of our heart, soul, and mind. Life is a climb. That's just not a Miley Cyrus song. It's not just a catchy phrase. And yes, we learn a lot on the journey, and don't ever just climb and not enjoy the process. But keep climbing. Don't stop climbing. And make sure when you're climbing, you're going the right direction. Every day, ask the Lord, God, is this what you would have me to do? Are these the things? Lord, help me to be sensitive to you. Help me to trust in you. Remember always, as you're climbing that ladder of life, there are others behind you that are following in your footsteps. And they're watching what you do. And your belief will come through, whether it's unbelief or belief. It will be seen. It's not enough to go to church. It's not enough to say I'm a believer. You've got to live out the faith. Step up to the challenge today. Fathers, young men, young women, mothers, grandmothers, grandfathers, step up to the challenge. God is looking for people that will know and understand the times and stand in the gap for those that don't understand and pray for those that have no one praying for them and reach out to those that have no one reaching out to them and trusting in the Lord. 1 Peter 5, 2 and 3 says, care for the flock that God has entrusted to you. Watch over it willingly, not grudgingly, not for what you will get out of it, but because you are eager to serve the Lord, don't lord it over people assigned to your care, but lead them by your own good example. What a mandate. What a mighty word of God that we need to live toward and identify with. Would you stand with me this morning? Dr. Fred Craddock, a distinguished educator, was on a vacation with his wife one summer in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. And he was at a quiet little restaurant when a distinguished-looking gray-haired man began to make his way through the restaurant, shaking hands. And Mr. Craddock, as he writes about this experience, shares, to be honest with you, I was not interested in talking to this man. I just wanted to enjoy my quiet dinner. But sure enough, this man made his way to our table. And this man asked in a friendly voice, "Where are you from?" Dr. Credick begrudgingly said, "We are from Oklahoma." "What do you do for a living?" asked the man. He says, "I teach homiletics at a graduate seminary at Phillips University." "Oh, so you teach preachers how to preach, do you?" That's what the man said. "Well, let me tell you a little bit about my own self." At this, Dr. Craddock said, "Oh no, I'm going to hear one of those long stories that I really don't want to hear." He says, "Well, let me tell you, when my life started out, it wasn't the best. My life started out, it was tough. I didn't have a father. My mother had gotten pregnant out of wedlock. And in that little town I grew up in, everybody knew everybody's business. And at this time, it wasn't acceptable for a young lady to get pregnant when she wasn't married. My whole adolescence was filled with people looking at me and making smart remarks. And I felt like I didn't have any work. And in school, they would call me names. During lunchtime, I would go eat lunch by myself because I didn't feel like I had any value or didn't have any work." He said, "I'd go to church on Sundays and I would sit in the back and slip out before anybody else would so I wouldn't have to put up with the stares and the condescending looks. But we got a new pastor one time. And one of his first Sundays, he dismissed us sooner than I anticipated. And before I could get out the door, he was standing at the back shaking hands." So I shook his hand. And he looked at me, he says, "Whose are you?" This was a crushing question to be asked of a little boy that didn't have a father. And I didn't answer because I didn't know what he was looking for. He said, "Son, I ask you a question. Whose are you?" And before I could get out an answer, he goes, "I know whose you are. You got a father in heaven that thinks you're the best. And you've got such potential. You got his eyes. I can see the father in your eyes. What a wonderful young man you are. God's got great plans for you." He shook his hand and he patted him on the back and sent him out the door. At that point, he began to realize that he was fearfully and wonderfully made. And he began to live according to what the Father saw and not what others saw. As he grew up, he went to school and got better in his grades. He said, "You know, because of that man's willingness to share with me the love of a father, it changed the course of my life." And after telling the story, they shook hands. Mr. Craddock said, "Sir, may I ask you what your name is? I think you told me at the beginning, but I can't remember what your name is." He says, "My name is Ben Hooper." And he walked away. And when he realized who he was, he said, "Oh my goodness." See, Mr. Craddock had been brought up in Tennessee. This is a former governor of the state of Tennessee that had shared the story with him. You don't know the impact you can make if you'll invest. Assess yourself. Get real. Get smart. Ask God. Don't listen to what everybody else says. Listen to what the Father says. Get busy doing the work of the Lord. And I promise you, when you get going, you're going to do something. And you're going to affect somebody. Would you bow your heads this morning? Father, thank you for the word that is strong and powerful. It's a two-edged sword. It cuts us, but it also heals us. And so, Father, I pray if someone here is feeling discouraged, maybe they've taken an assessment of their life and they feel like they've not quite gotten to where they should be, or maybe they feel like they're falling away. God, let today be a renewal of faith, restoring of hope, trusting in you, oh God. Thank you, Lord, for the word. I ask you to bless and strengthen each one of us. It's Christ's name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask the dads to come up and pray with me. and anybody that's a potential dad. All the gentlemen, if you don't mind, come on up. I want you to come stand up here with us. And then ladies, there's enough of us. Y'all come back here and stand behind these gentlemen. Stand facing me, guys. All the guys, stand facing me. All in one line. Side by side, shoulder to shoulder. Ladies, if y'all can stand behind. How many know that we need godly men to step up? And each one of you have a sphere of influence. Each one of you have potential to make a difference. God has His hand upon your life. God knows each one of you. God understands you. He understands your struggles. He understands the uncertainties that you're dealing with. And I just ask you today, say, Lord, I give you me. Every last bit of me. The broken me, the good me, the bad me. I give you me. And I ask you, Lord, to help me be a man of Issachar. A man that knows the times and seasons that he lives in. And he's willing to get real, get smart, get busy, and get going. Join hands, guys. Father, we're thankful that we have been called to this time. Lord, of all the people that you could have placed in this dimension and in this season, you've placed us. And so, Father, we pray, help us as men to know the times and seasons, to be men of valor, to be men of courage in the face of fear, to be men that are willing to trust you and to get real, and God, to get smart and to get busy and to get going. Father, touch us all. Lord, we're flawed. We know that. We struggle. We sometimes make mistakes. But Lord, we pray, pour into our lives your truth. For God, we know that when you equip us, we are prepared for battle. And God, give us the wisdom to do the right things. And help us when we falter and fail to pick up ourselves and to keep walking in faith, trusting in the power of your Spirit, trusting in the knowledge of your Word. Let your will be done in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Touch us all, God. Anoint us to be what you've called us to be. And Father, we'll give you thanks and praise and honor, and we'll give you glory. For God, we know that though we may be weak, we are strong in you. Thank you, Lord. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Thank you for being a good father. You're the best father. And I'm thankful, Lord, that God, you are never, never absent from my life. Always there. Thank you, Lord, for these men, these women. I pray the anointing of the Holy Spirit be upon them. I pray that you would order their steps, give them strength for the journey. Though they may be weary, God, they are never alone. Help them to trust in your faith, in their faith in you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Happy Father's Day, guys. All the men, there's something for you out at the Welcome Center. Make sure you pick it up. Shake hands. You're dismissed.